Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the May NJ EDA board meeting. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Attendees on Microsoft Teams should remain muted until it is their turn to speak. Please be advised today's meeting is being recorded. When the chairman opens the public comment portion of the meeting, members of the public attending in person will be acknowledged first, then by Teams, then by phone. You will be asked to provide your name and any organization with which you are affiliated. Members of the public attending via Microsoft Teams may use the raise hand feature to be placed into the queue to provide comment. Members of the public attending by phone will be advised to press star then one on your telephone keypad to be placed into the queue to provide comment. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing star then two. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. If you require assistance during the call, please press star then zero. I will now turn the conference over to Chairman Terry O'Toole. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. I'd now like to call the meeting to order. Evan, can you read the open public meeting notice, please?
Of course. In accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, notice of this meeting has been sent to Star Ledger, the record of Franconian, at least 48 hours prior to this meeting, and a meeting notice has been posted on the Secretary of State's bulletin board at the Department of State.
Thank you. Danielle, can you call the roll, please?
Chair Terrence O'Toole.
Present.
Vice Chair Charles Sarlow.
Here.
Tim Hillman.
Here.
Robert Shimko.
Here.
Antoine Johnson.
Here.
Phil Elagia.
Here.
Samuel Kovac-Orr, representing the executive branch.
Here.
Heavy Mystery, representing State Treasurer Aaron Binder.
Here.
Berto Soberanis, representing Acting Commissioner Kevin Jarvis from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development.
Here.
Elizabeth Dragon for Acting Commissioner Ed Potosnak from the Department of Environmental Protection.
Here.
Mark Dorphy, representing Acting Commissioner Susan Ox from the Department of Banking and Insurance.
Sure.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Danielle. I will now give some brief chair remarks. Good morning and welcome to the NJEDA's May board meeting. Small businesses are the backbone of New Jersey's economy, providing essential services, creating thousands of jobs, and contributing to the vibrancy of main streets and downtowns across the state. During Small Business Month in May, the NJEDA reaffirms its commitment to supporting Garden State entrepreneurs by creating environments where small businesses can grow and thrive. Governor Sherrill is making sure that small businesses share in the economic benefits of upcoming large-scale events like the World Cup and America's 250th anniversary, which will bring millions of visitors to the Northeast. Last week, the governor announced the winners of $5 million in grants awarded through the NJ World Cup Community Initiative, which will stand up fan zones, street fairs, watch parties, and festivals throughout the state and provide enormous economic opportunities for small businesses. Another crucial way to support our state's small business is to invest in projects that can serve as community anchors, increasing foot traffic in neighborhoods and advancing the vitality of main streets. Today, the board will consider an award under the Cultural Arts Facilities Expansion, or CAFE, program for Symphony Center at the Powerhouse Arts District in Jersey City, which will create a new permanent home for the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra and expand free and low-cost arts programming. These investments under NJEDA's CAFE program leverage the economic potential of art and culture projects to boost foot traffic in downtowns, which will drive growth for surrounding small businesses. As the governor works to bolster small businesses by removing red tape, streamlining permitting, and transforming government into a more effective partner, the NJEDA will continue to evaluate and refine its existing programs to better respond to the needs of business owners, helping drive new jobs and long-term economic competitiveness. I will now turn the meeting over to Evan for the CEO's report.
Thank you, Chair. I had a very nice day yesterday. It was very, very nice weather. I was in Burlington City, which is south of here, maybe half an hour or so. Burlington City, one of the oldest cities in New Jersey. It's one of the oldest cities in America. It was actually New Jersey. We talk about like North Central South Jersey today. When New Jersey was founded in the 17th century, it was actually West Jersey and East Jersey. And Burlington City was the capital of West Jersey. And when you walk around there, it's just, the history is so palpable. It's very real. There's all colonial buildings, one of the oldest Quaker meeting houses left in America. And I was there to talk about one of our Art Phase 2 grants that we had awarded to them. And so what really made that event a little extra special was that the opportunity, the grant that we awarded them, they had used to really leverage. They're pursuing changes to the UBZ legislation. They have a Main Street program. They have a business improvement program. They're working very closely with Senator Singleton, who represents them. Our money was very catalytic. Our money got them to think, and this is an arts center called the Lyceum, downtown Burlington, about what else they could do. And to me, that's our job, right? I mean, that's a relatively, for us, you know, small amount of money. For them, it's transformative. And they didn't stop there. As we keep scaling up, that's the concept. It's leverage. So when we invest in something with tax credits, we invest in venture, we invest in real estate projects. It's about what do we get back from the private sector and other parts of the public sector when we see that kind of activity. And I think I was inspired by that. And then being there, a bunch of people came up to me to tell me about an announcement I made last week with Governor Sherrill, with Choose New Jersey, with the New York New Jersey Host Committee, about the World Cup grants that we had given out. And so many folks, Burlington City also got a World Cup grant as well, were coming up to me and just talking about how transformative that is. You know, not everyone applied one, obviously, but we have a really good spread, you know, over 30 different cities and some major festivals will be covered by that. And built into the application was the requirement that you take that money and find other money to use it. That mindset is a lot of what I'll be talking about next week, and I have the opportunity to testify in front of the state legislature, both the Assembly and the Senate. My goal is to really convey that up and down the authority, that mindset is about catalyzing investment beyond what we're doing. You'll see some of that activity today in terms of how we do that. I'm excited to have a CAFE award today, some film and digital media awards, showing that mindset that I just want to keep expanding because we need to. We need to do that in a time when resources are tighter than they have been. The governor is laser focused on making sure the state's budget and all the work we do is as targeted and careful as possible to draw in more investment. So you'll start to hear that today. And I think as we keep going through more and more board meetings with more activity on them, that'll be a theme that we'll have throughout. So excited. I'm just, you know, really enjoying seeing some of our work on the ground all over New Jersey.
Thank you. We'll move forward now with our action items. The first is the approval of previous month's minutes. Before you are minutes from the April 9 NJEDA board meeting for review and approval, could I hear a motion to approve the board minutes and a second, please?
Approved, Roger.
Thank you, Phil. Second? Thank you, Joel. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the minutes are approved. I will now open the public comment portion of the meeting. First, I'm going to ask Daniel Esser to share NJEDA's public comment policy and process for this board meeting.
Members of the public who wish to speak during the public comment period will be acknowledged to speak first in person, then by Teams, and then by phone. Members of the public attending in person may approach the podium to provide their public comment. Members of the public attending via Microsoft Teams may use the raise hand feature to be placed into a queue to provide comment. Each speaker will be acknowledged to speak in the order of hands raised. Once acknowledged, please unmute yourself to provide your comment. All members of the public must remain muted following the public comment portion of the meeting. A staff member may mute you if you are unable to remain muted. Members of the public attending by phone who are interested in providing comment will be asked to more than one. Be registered to speak, let's replace each person into a queue.
Catalytic converter.
We'll now go over NJEDA's public comment policy, which is also available on the NJEDA website. Each speaker will be prompted to speak one at a time. Each speaker should announce his or her name, organization, affiliation, and the topic on which remarks will be given. Each speaker will have a maximum of 3 minutes to speak and should limit comments to matters pertaining to the authority. Staff will prompt the speaker once their time has expired. A person may not register to speak more than once during the same public comment period to ensure enough time is available for all those who wish to speak. Related comments or materials may be attached to an email. We look forward to receiving your public comment at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle. I will now acknowledge members of the public who wish to provide comment at this time. First, anyone in the room who wishes to address the board. Okay, seeing none, Danielle, anyone on Teams with hands raised?
On Teams, if you wish to provide comments, please enable the raise hand feature at this time or
unmute yourself and advise that you want to provide comment. Not hearing any, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, want to go to the operator. Please, operator, open public comments on the phone.
At this time, I'm showing no public comments.
Can you read the prompts for the members of the public on the phone, please?
As a reminder, if you would like to make a comment, please press star, then one at this time. I am showing no comment.
All right, operator, thank you very much. I will now consider the public comment section of the meeting closed. We'll now move to voting matters. First, as we do for every board meeting, a quick report on the committee meetings that took place between board meetings. The NJEDA Policy Committee met on April 30th and considered one item which is being considered for action today, which is a recommendation to not disqualify an applicant from receiving financial assistance from the authority. Staff will present as part of the next item. So the first item, Jackie, on Christian Health Senior Housing Development Corp.
Good morning.
Hi.
We are asking the board to not disqualify Christian Health Senior Housing Development Corp. and its sole shareholder from receiving financial assistance from the authority. Christian Health Senior Housing Development Corp., formerly known as Lane Senior Housing Development Corp., submitted an application for the Aspire Tax Credit Program on September 11, 2020.
You are not allowed to unmute. To raise your hand, press star 5.
I'm an entity for the project. The project is for a 141-unit, 100% affordable senior housing development in total. The tax credit request is for approximately $35 million. With this legal questionnaire, applicant disclosed one pending civil case, which has since been dismissed. There was also a pending civil case identified during the review. These civil cases are not disqualifying under our regulations, as they have either been dismissed or have not concluded. During the review, there were three regulatory matters identified, one with the New Jersey Department of Health and two with the United States Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Two of the matters can be cleared under the current delegated authority based on the amounts of the penalty. The New Jersey Department of Health assessed a $6,000 penalty in December 2024, and the first CMS matter involved a self-reported incident that resulted in a reduced penalty amount of $15,593 in June 2023. We have received confirmation from counsel that both civil penalties have been paid, and confirmation from the Department of Health that Christian Health has been standing with no outstanding enforcement issues for violation. As these two penalties are under the threshold penalty amount of $100,000, we have delegated authority to clear state. The second CMS matter, for which we do not have delegated authority, is a $166,920 penalty for nursing home violations that were identified based on a New Jersey Department of Health survey conducted from October 6th through October 18, 2021. It was determined that the facility was not in substantial compliance with Medicare participation requirements. The details related to the violations are in your board materials. Christian Health received a letter of noncompliance dated December 10, 2021, notifying the facility of the noncompliance and remedies. A revisit survey was conducted on January 18, 2022. Following this visit, CMS explained via a January 21, 2022 letter that Christian Health abated the immediate jeopardy on October 9, 2021, but remained out of substantial compliance until December 17, 2021. Additionally, Christian Health was prohibited from offering or conducting a nurse aid training and competency evaluation program for 2 years. Christian Health appealed, challenging the determination that the facility was in substantial noncompliance with the requirements and the imposition of the civil penalty. An administrative law judge issued a decision on October 29, 2025, finding that they were in substantial noncompliance with Medicare program requirements and determined the penalty was appropriate. Christian Health paid the penalty of $166,920 on February 24, 2022, while the appeal was pending as required by CMS. When asked for mitigating factors, for Christian Healthcare Center provided a statement, which is also included in your board materials. In summary, counsel noted that the violations were regulatory in nature, not intentional wrongdoing, and were addressed promptly. Christian Health paid the assessed penalties and cooperated with regulators to address the violations. The two-year prohibition from offering the training program has been lifted. While they did contest the findings and appeal, they paid the fine while that process was ongoing. While the appeal process took several years and only concluded in October 2025, the violations took place approximately 4.5 years ago, and the penalty was paid just over 4 years ago. This puts the original noncompliance finding slightly under our board agreed upon look-back period of 5 years for civil regulatory matters. Council addressed the non-disclosure of this item in the application as an administrative oversight. Lastly, the organization remains in good standing and has not been debarred, suspended, or otherwise restricted from participating in federal or state programs. After review of the mitigating factors, we are recommending the board not to disqualify Christian Healthcare Center and its affiliate entities from receiving financial assistance. Thank you.
We had a fairly in-depth discussion about this at committee, and we checked with the Department of Health. They're in good standing. Any questions or comments? Anyone on the phone, questions or comments? So the action item today is to approve staff's recommendation to not disqualify Christian Hill. Can I hear a motion? Jim, second? You? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, it is approved. Thank you. Next, a report on the Incentives Committee meeting, which took place on April 28th. We considered three items, which are being considered for action today. Two items under the Digital Media Tax Credit Program and the CAFE program that both Evan and I mentioned before. So staff will present as part of today's agenda. First, Chris, on digital media tax credits.
Chairman, under the Digital Media Tax Credit Program, MLB Network LLC has applied for their fiscal year 2023 digital media content production expenses, including expenses for work done at their headquarters in Secaucus. Staff recommends approval on this application. The application includes 1,045 full-time employees working on digital media content with an average salary of $79,697. As part of eligibility for credits under the program, a project must meet two expense eligibility thresholds. The first is that 50% of the applicants qualify digital.
You are allowed to unmute. To unmute yourself, press star 6.
Employees in New Jersey. The second is the applicant must incur at least $2 million in qualified digital media. And clearing the $2 million vendor spend threshold with over $21.5 million in vendor spend. This brings them to $104,881,820 in qualified spend for a total award of $31,464,546. Happy to address any questions, concerns.
And as your slide says, they are staying in New Jersey State.
Yes, correct. They are relocating to Elmwood Park or Saddlebrook, I believe, from Secaucus. And I believe that this credit played a role in them staying in New Jersey rather than going to upstate New York.
Okay, we're going to vote on each of these items separately. Okay, so any comments, questions in the room or on the phone for Chris on the MLB award? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve? Thank you, Tim. Second? Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, it is approved. Next, CNBC.
Also under the Digital Media Tax Credit Program, Staff recommends approval for CNBC LLC's fiscal year 2024 digital media content production expenses, including expenses for work done at their headquarters in Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey. This project also meets both eligibility requirements, with 66% of its qualified spend incurred for wages and salaries paid to New Jersey workers, and clearing the $2 million vendor spend threshold with over $11 million in spend through New Jersey vendors. This brings them to a total of $57,860,691 in qualified spend for a total award of $17,358,207 for the award. Happy to address any questions, comments, or concerns about this one.
As your slide demonstrates, they are a consistent applicant to the program.
Correct.
Any comments, questions? Okay, hearing anyone on the phone, comments or questions? Hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve? Cool. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Phil. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, it is approved. Thanks, Chris. Next, CAFE, Elizabeth.
So I'm here to present staff recommendation for the Cultural Arts Facilities Expansion Program, or CAFE, project for the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra. The project is called the Symphony Center. It's located in the Powerhouse Arts District in Jersey City at 151 Bay Street in Hudson County. And this project will serve as the new permanent home and headquarters for the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra. But I just want to make it clear that even though this is their headquarters and there'll be a lot going on here, they will continue to have performances at other locations as well. This project is a tenant fit out of nearly 40,000 square feet across three floors that are within a larger 34-story mixed-use development, and that space has been delivered in white box condition. The project will include a 550-seat flexible performance hall for orchestra, concerts, chamber music, and multimedia performances. We'll have professional-grade rehearsal and production spaces. There will be community and education rooms for cultural arts programming, administrative offices, and a full lobby, concessions, and back-of-the-house facilities. This project really does address a critical need, giving New Jersey Symphony Orchestra this permanent home. It's going to really roost them in a transit-accessible, walkable location, and that's going to be in this emerging creative economy district. The project's going to have a really positive impact on the state. Symphony already engages with 150,000 people annually, including 40,000 children, and that is throughout the state. With this project, they have committed to having monthly free or discounted events. The permanent facility will serve as a community anchor and cultural hub for Hudson County and the region. In his support letter, the Jersey City Mayor emphasized that this will create meaningful economic activity, expand access to high-quality arts and education programs, and increase foot traffic, which will attract visitors to dine, shop, and experience all that the Powerhouse Arts District has to offer. This will also provide a professional cultural venue that New Jersey has been missing, keeping residents in state for world-class performances rather than traveling to New York. This is really about the economic development through cultural infrastructure, which is exactly what CAFE was designed. A little bit about the project structure and the financials. Toll Brothers built the building, and they conveyed three condo units which are being subleased to the applicant, and that's all described in the memo. The funding for the project, total project costs come to about $31 million. Eligible project costs after applying the 20% soft cost cap come to $29,040,311, and it's being funded through a $22.1 million bridge loan, $6.5 million in fundraising by the Symphony, and then $2.5 million from Toll Brothers' contribution. Staff conducted a comprehensive financial review and found that the Symphony has committed to the fundraising at $6.5 million, and that exceeds the program's 20% applicant contributed equity requirement. Staff analyzed the project's return on investment both with and without the CAFE tax credit using the maximum rate of return model and determined that the IRR is below the maximum allowable rate of return for comparable cultural arts projects, thereby demonstrating a project financing gap. The authority's consultant, Sterling Project Development, or SPD, concluded that the project requires CAFE support to proceed and would not move forward without this incentive, and that the award does not over-enrich the project. SPD also reviewed the project costs and determined them to be reasonable, concluding that, quote, a responsible sponsor and construction team can effectively manage the scope and execution of the project at or near the currently projected values, unquote. Staff has also confirmed that the applicant has adequate and bona fide sources to cover all project costs with a reasonable expectation that these sources will be available to complete the project. SPD reviewed the fundraising plan and found it to be comprehensive, detailed, and credible based on the Symphony's historical performance. As described in the memo, CAFE does limit eligible soft costs to 20% of all eligible costs. The project does have more soft costs than that. Therefore, the recommended award size was reduced by about $1.7 million to arrive at that $29 million figure. And we would recommend 100% of eligible costs then be awarded. As for the program rules, the CAFE tax credits are issued in 5 equal annual installments, which occur after the construction. The tax credits will be sold at 89 cents per dollar, which does exceed the program minimum, which is 85 cents. The construction is expected to start fourth quarter of this year with just a one-year completion timeline. The project did score 71 out of 100, well above the 40 minimum requirement. Staff has reviewed the application against the program requirements and found that the application does satisfy eligibility requirements. As described in the memo, the facility meets both the statutory and program rules definition of a cultural arts institution facility. The project comprises performing arts space, including, again, front of the house and back of the house operation, as well as the supporting areas such as administrative. Staff confirmed that all the proposed uses are cultural arts related, and because more than 50% of the square footage is for cultural arts uses, the facility qualifies as a cultural arts institution facility. With that, at this time of the recommendation, we have $1.23 billion in uncommitted tax credit resources available to CAFE projects, and this award would utilize $29 million of that capacity. We do recommend the approval of a tax credit award in the amount of $29,040,311 to New Jersey Symphony Orchestra for the Symphony Center at Powerhouse Arts District Project. The award is subject to the standard conditions, including submission of financing commitments, site plan approval, required permits, environmental sustainability plans, all within 1 year of approval. Happy to answer any questions.
Elizabeth, we talked about this extensively at various committee meetings. And is this our first CAFE award? No? Third. Was Sterling also the group who did our work on Aspire? Didn't they evaluate Aspire?
We had JLL, but we also had JLL involved in the maximum rate of return piece of it. So they actually came up with the maximum rate of return number, and then Sterling compared the IRR against the number that has been calculated using the multiplier. And that we have some of that information in the memo about how we arrived.
And then maybe just explain to people, because I know we talked about this at committee, the fundraising component and how that works, because they have to raise the funds, correct?
They do. So just like all of our projects, they do have that 1 year from board approval to satisfy the conditions. One of those conditions is having executed financing commitments. For fundraising, we interpret that to mean that they do have to at least have pledges within that 1 year time frame. And for this project specifically, they had committed to, and it's in that, I think that's the right number.
Yeah.
within that 1 year time frame. 4.6.471.
So they need commitments with a year from grant of 6.4.
Yeah. And they have, at this point, they have received, according to the plan, they wanted $2.26 million, comprised of $1.71 million in cash received, and $548,000 of verbal and written commitments have been raised to date and earmarked for the project.
Any questions, board members in the room? Anyone on the phone? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Robert Shimko.
Thank you, Robert. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, it is approved. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Chair, can I make a comment?
Absolutely.
Just about the last three matters, you can sit down. Just to Chris, Matt, Elizabeth, the teams, like there's been a lot of ups and downs with this, and I thank you for kind of following along with us through this period of transition. Happy that we're starting to see the activity here. But the flexibility and the work you've been able to put into this is very appreciated. It's very nice to be here and have some projects come up and vote on them. And, you know, I know this is a novel product. It's new. There's lots to work through. So thank you for that.
Great. Next on real estate, Charles, you want to give a quick report?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. The real estate committee met on April 30th, discussed one matter, which was a real estate gap financing supplement for a grant funding award to the applicant that the staff was not presented.
Okay, Alexis, you got to present?
Here's the request for approval, $2.6 million supplemental real estate gap financing grant award for Unique Landscaping and Design LLC. As a reminder, the real estate gap financing program is a $10 million competitive pilot initiative approved by the board in July of 2024. Its purpose is to support real estate development projects in 25 select municipalities that experienced financial shortfalls due to the economic impacts of COVID-19. The program is funded with SLFRF federal dollars, which must be expended by December 31st, 2026. Unique Landscaping and Design submitted an application under this program proposing a three-story, 10,270-square-foot mixed-use building located at 236 4th Street in Lakewood. This project includes ground floor retail and office space on the upper floors. When first reviewed and evaluated, Unique's application received a score of 55.33. This was below the required 65-point minimum. Additionally, at that time, Lakewood had already had another applicant with a higher score, which exceeded the program's one award per municipality. And as a result, the staff issued a declination letter on October 28, 2025. Unique submitted an appeal in November 11, 2025. A deeper review revealed anomalies in the original scoring. To ensure fairness, the application was scored by a new three-member evaluation committee using only the originally submitted materials. This resulted in an updated score of 78 points. This now met the eligibility threshold. The previously higher scoring Lakewood project was later deemed ineligible because construction had begun before the execution of the grant agreement, which is prohibited under the grant program guidelines. This applicant's grant award was subsequently revoked on December 15, 2025, clearing the municipal limit barrier. The required programmatic compliance reviews have been conducted and cleared. The program remains sufficient funds, so no reallocation is necessary. And with the scoring corrected, municipal limitations resolved, and compliance confirmed, staff recommends approval of the supplemental $2.6 million grant award for Unique Landscaping and Design, LLC. Thank you, and we're happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Anybody in here?
Yes, we had them prove their spend through a schedule, and they already have their permits and everything else ready to go.
Money left in the program after this?
There will be.
That will be unspent?
Yeah. But not, I was going to say it's not a maximum amount.
Any other comments or questions on this item? Anyone on the phone? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve? Elizabeth, second. Cool. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, it is approved. Thank you. Evan, board memorandum.
Sure. So this month there are four delegated authority memos in your packs pertaining to real estate and credit underwriting. These memos highlight the work done behind the scenes by staff on a regular basis. Community development products, delegated authority approvals for the first quarter of 2026, credit and finance projects approved under delegated authority April 2026, post-closing incentives delegated authority approvals first quarter of 2026, and finally post-closing credit delegated authority approvals first quarter of 2026. Just a few things I wanted to highlight under the community development delegated reporting for the first quarter. Regarding the small business improvement grant, we had 123 applications of that. That equaled a $4.1 million approval. Under the small business lease grant, we had 53 applications, which totaled us to $1.2 million. Under the CBD program, we had 63 applications and $4.7 million in total spend, or rather our approvals. Lastly, under credit underwriting delegated reporting, five of loans were approved, totaling more than $6.5 million.
A lot of activity. Thank you for your acceptance of the delegation. Any further, any other items? If there are no additional comments, I'd like to thank everyone for their participation today. Could I request a motion to adjourn the meeting? Elizabeth, I'll take that as a motion, and Tim as a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Hearing none, this concludes our meeting. Thank you. Danielle, is that the record?
Yes.